The talisman has guided us here, and hopefully to the location of the next piece of the key. And fortuitously, on the day of the masquerade of the Reaper, does feel strange to be queuing to get into a party, especially here in the League. I've been away for far too long, it seems. Ah, and we seem to be in the right place. It's our friend from Birmingham. Looks like she's trying to skip this line. This should be very amusing.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Oh, young miss, please come straight through.
Wait! What? Who is this woman? And more importantly, who is her tailor? Elegant yet flamboyant. Fabulous. I guess while we wait, where did I start the next chapter of The Noobs at LARP?
Hello and welcome to the LARP News Podcast. We recently got back from E1.
E1, yeah.
E1 of 2019.
It's just strange to be doing this again. And
a year on.
A year on. It's like, it's weird. When I think back to last year and when we both decided to do this, and it was, I think of all the places like LARP's taken me, mm-hmm. you know, and the things like it's opened up in what I have experienced, what I've done, what I've risked, what I've kind of just gained as like reward from it. Mm-hmm. It's a strange experience to go from where I was to where I and how I feel about it now.
I tell you, I really didn't think about it too much until we got back from E1.
Yeah.
I'll probably talk about that at the end probably, but there's a lot of stuff I digested during E1 after like having spent like three seasons in.
Yes. Yeah.
Feels like a long way now we're looking back.
Yeah. I mean, I guess we should, this is the pre-LARP segment. So here we'll go over the things we did before going to LARP.
We'll just go through a quick stuff to do with the podcast.
Yeah,
it's boring, I think it's good time, then we'll just we'll blast through it. So I had a good winter. I got to do loads of different interviews. Even want to go to a different LARP. It's been pretty busy.
I think that's been really fun, right? Because I mean, obviously we have these conversations and stuff, and I think there's, you know, us talking from an area of like almost total ignorance in some respects is always like, you know, something we enjoy. Way,
the absolute benefit from, well, from my point of view, especially like going to see like people like the PD crew and talking to them about
Matt
stuff.
Matt Pennington,
Claire Evans, you know, David Kimball White. It's just Graham.
Yeah, and even the photographers,
Beth
Duma and stuff,
like, right? So from my point of view, it's been a real absolute blast going off and chatting to people who I'm actually interested in just sitting down and talking to.
I mean, even on, like, you know, I had the episode with Robert and, like, talking to him, you know, again, like, something I would maybe never have done, like, I, you know, this whole podcast kind of opened me up to things like that. And I think this whole hobby has opened me up to doing more things that maybe I would never foresee myself
pretty
doing.
Pretty fun. We set up a Patreon, so now people are giving us a few bucks to help.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing, awesome. Right? That's crazy to think that people do that, to be honest.
It's really humbling, really nice, really appreciate it, guys. Really awesome.
Yeah.
Let's move on from that.
Yeah.
And thank you very much if I didn't say so. Oh, let's talk about your armor and stuff.
Yeah, I guess that's the big thing, right? I've hinted at it a bunch of times that I've been working on some Lamlar armor.
Right.
Because I'd made like a sort of a jack of plates kind of thing, or kind of like a weird bastard version of, I guess you call it Brigadine or something like that. And it's like, that's been all right.
Brigadine.
Yeah, it's basically, it's essentially a leather jacket with metal plates. Ordinarily, those go behind the leather jacket.
Right.
And it's kind of riveted on from the front. But then I kind of inverted and had the metal plates on the front of the jacket, which is not really historically anything.
Right. But it looked fucking
It looked all right, right? But the thing was, it was just like doing that had opened me up to really trying to do something else. And I got shot by an arrow once and went down. And then I thought, well, heavy armor is very good. So I thought, well, I'm going to make myself some heavy armor. I don't want to have a breastplate. So I'll just give it a go and, actually try and craft something. So I settled on making Lamlar armor, which there's various types of it. But
I definitely haven't heard of it before you started working on it.
It's kind of like Viking sort of heavy armor. It's
so
the easiest way
describe how
of
it's
it.
Made. So it's tiny little bits of metal plate.
Yes. So you basically got segmented plates that have holes uniformly drilled into them, essentially. And there's different forms of it, but I made Lamlar, which is using D plates, which if you imagine, they're literally plates that look like a filled in D, capital D. There are also things like A plates, which look like a capital A, essentially.
Right.
You know, and they all basically attach together and make a different type of Lamlar. But it looked like something I could do, right? Or something I'd have the patience to do, because
it's such a big task, though.
It was a huge endeavor, right? And something that, like, this hobby takes you to crazy places.
Dude, you've gone out there, right? Like, before E1, Ian was messaging me and he was like, oh man, like, the hype's so bad, like, I really want to go, and it's just like, I'm so excited about getting there. What can you imagine what it's like for people more invested than us? And I was like, dude, you're the absolute hilt right now. It's yeah.
Yeah, I mean, even beyond the armor, I mean, I'll talk about it in a bit, but I did things like I wrote an apothecary book, and I made flags for the nation, which was just like such a weird and crazy thing to be involved in.
We should go through each of those and how you crafted them. Let's go back to the Lamlar armor. So you have to thread all these, you have to thread each individual plate together.
But it sounds complicated, but essentially there's a pattern for it, right? And you just follow the pattern, and it's just, you line them up, you push some essentially paracord through, or leather thonging, and then you just go down the line doing that, and then you move on to the next line. It's much like knitting, really, but with very big sort of loops, and yeah, you just stitch the whole thing together. Just
time and effort.
Yeah, but what I wanted to do, because I bought some old Lamlar armor from India, and you can buy, I say old, sorry, but it's actually sort of cheaply knocked off stuff they make over there, but it's steel. That was pretty reasonable. It was like a lot cheaper than buying like a suit here.
Oh, so you bought the actual segments?
No, I bought the whole suit. Basically they gave you the same price whether you bought it small or extra, extra large.
Right.
And obviously extra, extra large will have more plates in it.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, I'm going to take the whole thing apart and use all of the plates. So I'll order an extra, extra large. And I have 6,000 more.
How many did you take to make
my armor?
Yeah.
I don't know. Probably 4,000, something like that.
Oh, so you can make a whole other one?
Maybe. I'm thinking about what else I'm going to do with the other 2,000 plates.
I mean, my word. That's a lot.
Yeah, but it was just like, so I did that. And then the other thing I wanted to do was I wanted to spray all of the plates green. Because I wanted, like, I didn't, that was the reason I've already gone to this.
No Navarre.
Yeah, I wanted, like, again, I felt maybe like shiny plate would be like not very Navarre. And you can go that way, though, actually, having said that. But at the time, I didn't really think of it. So I wanted to make it all greens. The whole thing is undercoated, then sprayed with green paint, and then varnished, and then threaded together. And that's for all the plates. They all had to be laid out and sprayed. And that was like, that took ages. But yeah, then threading it together is just, that's fairly simple. And then, yeah, just put a leather guard, essentially, around the outside of it.
It sounds like it put it all together.
It was a lot. But weirdly, if I did it in like man hours, it probably wouldn't be that much, weirdly. But it's like the, it's like the kind of intensity of doing it, it creatively, and just sort of trying to navigate that into your normal working life and stuff.
Dude, it sounds like a hell of a task.
Yeah.
But you also made a book.
I did. So the other thing I really wanted to do was get some lore into a book and maybe put it into the library, because I heard there was an Anvil library. I'm a librarian, so I thought, well, it'd be good to deposit something. So that sparked this idea of doing an apothecary book, because my character's just taken the skill apothecary.
So what did you do? Just get like pages and pages of
the
wiki?
So on the wiki, it's all just wonderfully written out. Just hats off to whoever wrote all of that, because it's just so well done, and it's like you're reading an actual kind of thing about herbs, you know, like an actual herbalist's kind of book. You know, it uses like the correct phrasing, and people obviously know a little bit about plants, because I don't know anything about plants. They're using all the right terminology and stuff. But anyway, what I wanted to do was I basically took stuff off the wiki and reworded it as if obviously I was writing it. In some places more than others.
Wow! Rewrote the whole thing.
The whole thing. So when you get it, it's not just the wiki pasted in to a file. It's like actually written stuff that I've done, which basically says exactly the same as what's on the wiki, but slightly rephrased.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
It took 3 months to do that, and then
you shrunk it down as well. So it's like, how big is the book? Like
physically, it's like a really small, like A6 pocketbook.
Yeah,
I wanted it that small.
It's leather bound.
Yeah, well, this the first one I made was leather bound, and I probably will do them all that way. And yeah, then that's kind of riveted together. And it's 113 pages long. And it was just like, but so much fun to do. I mean, it was one of these things where I really wanted to make a bunch to sell at the event, and we'll get really onto that at the event. But I just only managed to make the one prototype because stuff came up like the day before. I mean, I'd been to Australia for a whole month, like right before this whole thing. So I had no time to work on crafting.
Do you know what I did for crafting, Ian?
What did you do?
Do you know what I did for the whole, like, man, you think Ian went hard out? Well, guess what I did? I had some fingerless gloves and like a little neck thing.
Yeah.
So like a little like crocheted neck thing for my neck to keep me warm. Someone else made that for me.
And that was really, those are really nice though.
They're good, right?
Really nice.
They're really good. And they're like darkish colours. Or
no, they look really colours. Good. They look very
nice. And also I got a friend of mine, Derek, to 3D print me some teeth.
That was really cool.
Which I then painted and then put a string through. I had to drill the holes a bit bigger. That's the only thing. But like the actual 3D crafting was outstanding. So yeah, Derek might want to advertise actually because he does do stuff. But yeah, and that's it. But that is the sum total of my crafting.
But like, I don't know, like, all of that's really cool, right? Like,
you enjoy it. To be fair, actually, I bought some aluminium.
Yeah, you did. I know you were going to do more.
I've got all the tools I need, but all that aluminium's... Well, all that aluminium, it's not even that much aluminium, but I was sitting there. It's sitting there waiting for me to make the first.
I would encourage you to. I think, like, the reward from doing stuff like that... And I guess it got me thinking more about the reward of doing costuming and armor and stuff like that. Is it something that you wear? So you're literally applying it to your character when you do it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like that. That's kind of, you know, it's cool, right? When you add that little touch to your character or whatever, and you kind of embody it physically on your character. I think that's a really cool thing to
do. Let me put this way. My favorite things, like the necklace.
It's works, great. It's really good.
It
with works, your character.
And it's like it's good for my character, and it's really happy with it. Little addition, also adding the gloves and the scarf.
Yeah.
It just makes me look a bit more of a breaks down, prepared, dude. Breaks up the gimp armor a bit, you know. So that's pretty important. Right. Oh, you went to LARPCon.
I did go to LARPCon. That was a really good experience. We originally were going to all try and go together, bunch of us, but only I could make it on the day.
Yeah.
And it was a bit of a shame.
Yeah, I think I was working.
Yeah, I think it just, everything just happened to conspire that everybody said they were going to go for one reason or another.
You went by yourself to LARPCon. So, is the, it's like a little...
Well, it's quite big. It's quite a big kind of... It's like a big sports hall or a bunch of sports halls in a sports facility that have all been booked out, and they're just filled with LARPing stuff, which ranges from different games that you can go to.
So the little advertising.
They've all got their own little stalls and stuff, and you know, Profound Decisions are there, and you can talk about Empire and things. And that was cool. I got to meet some of the crew members there, and sort of just talk to them. And that it's nice to see people who you know maybe like behind the scenes you don't normally see, and like. The game's just become something like really cool and awesome in my life, so it's just been like, just it was nice to say thanks to them.
Did you fanboy out?
Yeah, I did fanboy about out of it. It was just like, yeah. And then anyway, so then the rest of it is selling, you know, sellers who sell things. So irregular props were there, and
mad props to irregular props, as always.
Yeah, and having a laugh was there, and there who I normally use for my arrows and stuff. But I actually didn't buy very much. I'd arranged to pick some arrows up from there. But the rest of it was, I think, I bought two shirts as well, which it kind of upgraded my soft kit.
Mm.
That was really good. One from Chow's, and they also have like a bring and buy at LARPCon where people can just bring and sell or things. So people can bring their stuff and then sell it. And there's like a group of people behind a stall who'll sell it for them. And then they give a cut back.
That's
so
awesome.
You can just like sell off old LARP stuff. And it's, you know, a lot of it's just priced really nicely. Like I got like a shirt for like £3 and it's like, you know, it's aged, but it's in good nick. And it's like, you know, it's a whole soft kit, legit shirt for like £3. I mean, it's really good.
I like our characters. The fact is that, well, me anyway, I can wear disheveled shit. And it's actually a bit better.
Yeah, I think actually that looks, it just on almost every character looks better, right? If you've got a fully polished piece of armor, that says something.
Oh, well, but man.
Seeing that with a little chick.
Dawn might be listening, man.
Yeah, you got to have the shiny. But no, I think a little chink is always interesting. It's, it tells a bit of character.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, LARPCon was great. I got to meet the people on the Orcs planet. That was really cool. I fanboyed out a bit there, actually. That was kind of funny.
Is that the Orc planet,
guys? Yeah, yeah. They're really cool.
Yeah, there's a YouTube channel. We like them a lot. They're the Ashborn.
Yes, weirdly.
Which is amazing. And
but they're the Orc Ashborn.
I couldn't be happier with some namesakes. Yeah. Is all I can say to that.
They're great.
A wonderful bunch of folks. Yeah, so Orc Planet on YouTube, it's worth a Google.
Yeah, they do one thing that they have done, which I think has actually been legitimately really good for you and me, being both dyslexic, and we find sometimes the amount of text, I think, maybe a bit intimidating.
Yeah, so before every event, you get the Winds of War, or the Winds of Fortune, right? Yeah,
and they're kind of big story blocks that basically explain what's happened between one event and another, right? Yeah. So this will tell you what big battles happened and what the results of that might be, both mechanically and in RP.
Which is thanks to those guys. There are a few other people that do them.
Yeah.
But just a guy sat there, reads it through.
Yeah, and so he reads out the whole thing as if he's reading you a story piece. And they're pretty well written, right? These are very well written pieces of lore. And they're read, and he narrates it really well. Well read,
I would say.
Really, really nicely done.
Damn fine show.
And that's been really good. So top props to them. So anyway, it was great to see them. And I talked to them about my armor and stuff, because they also have recently got, I think, Armchair Armory, which is a really cool site for sort of buying plates and stuff from. And they're great. So just that was really, really, really rewarding to meet them. I also actually bumped into my two Eurozen friends from Crystal Skies.
Yeah.
And it was so weird. I could actually give them a hug. It was because Eurozen have this thing where you can't touch them physically.
So you wanted, there was a need.
So no, but he just straight away said, give us a hug. And so it was cool. It was because it's such a weird thing. It's interacting with a Eurozen as a friend, because you can't touch them. And I forget how much of my interpersonality is a handshake or a pat on the shoulder or something.
Yeah. Right?
How much of communication I do is that, and my instinct to do that.
The Joe Biden of
But yeah, so that was really good fun. So saw them, and they also had a LARP awards thing after, but I didn't stay long enough for that. But they had a whole...
Oh shit, remember, so Claire Evans had won a LARP award, okay?
Yes, yeah.
So I googled some of my prep for that episode about all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Nightmare guy.
Yeah.
The guy that hosted Nightmare. We have to win a LARP award. They might have him back. Right. Cambion Horns.
Yeah, so that was just... the other thing I wanted to do was, if my character died... I talked before about being a Naga, which is essentially people from the Night Realm. They're essentially cockatrice kind of...
Tricksty.
Humanoids.
Tricksty folk.
But I changed away from that. I went for... I'm going to say it wrong again. Cambion.
Cambion?
Cambion, I think it is, yeah. And that's basically sort of... You have ram style horns.
Mm-hmm.
You're a bit kind of cunning, I suppose.
Yeah, there's RP effects being this lineage.
But anyway, the reason I wanted to do that was if I die, I figure it would be an easy way to sort of demonstrate visually that I'm a different character. So I got these sort of plastic horns that are essentially on a headband,
mm-hmm.
Sprayed them up bronze, and then I used some tarnishing kind of sort of powder, essentially, to sort of add a faint sort of patina to them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of rusted out. And that's just all for the character. The idea would be that, he was kind of lost behind enemy lines and he's kind of been tortured and sort of mistreated while he was out there. So he's aged a bit.
That sounds tragic, Ian.
Yeah, it's another tragic backstory. But yeah, so I wanted to go for that. But yeah, that was really good fun. Just going a little bit down the lineage game, even though Talus is still alive. Mm-hmm. So, at this point, anyway. And
we talked a lot about who would die.
Yeah.
There will be deaths.
Yeah.
There will be deaths. Yeah, so Bung's eye.
That was really interesting. Yeah,
so our friend Bung, he's been going with us.
From
the beginning.
Yeah.
And wonderful man who does the intros and outros for each episode.
Yeah.
He decided that he was going to try and, while he's away doing his thing on the trods.
Yeah.
He gets into a fight with a, is it a Cambrian?
No, a changeling.
Changeling, who are the little pointy
horns. They've got more like stag horns.
Yeah. And he said he's going to say that he headbutted, whatever.
Changeling. Yeah. And it took his eye out.
So he decided to get this. I mean,
it's like a white contact lens. It's a white
contact lens, but it's like misted, right?
Yeah.
So it gives the impression he's got like cataracts or something.
Yeah, right? That his eye's been sort of blotted out.
Yeah. When he got that in.
Yeah.
I mean.
Like, and he added like a little scar to his face to show where obviously it sort of hit
scrape across the cheek.
It was cool. It was just like,
yeah.
Yeah, Bung really, when especially with the makeup, he goes like all out. Like his tattoos are always the best.
He's our makeup man for sure. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like, he really nails it just on like the look. And
also, the fact he had to fight the whole time was with one eye buggered.
Yeah.
Because he can't see out of it very well. So the whole thing is like you're basically fighting in, you know, with no depth perception.
I think that was a really interesting challenge for him to suddenly have like his depth perceptions kind of fucked with.
Yeah.
That was great. I think like Bung is great at really kind of, as I say, pushing.
Well, pushing that envelope of how you can make your physical appearance be. I mean, I'm sure there are people out there that do like crazy things with latex.
Yeah.
And like body art stuff that's like absolutely bonkers.
Super duper kick ass.
Yeah. Or right. Like I've seen a like Navarre's tattoo or war paint game is pretty good. Ours is like, we'll do a nice little tattoo shape and do a couple of bits.
It normally curves around the eye, doesn't it? And then comes down to the front of the face.
Yeah, battle, get a bit of the old, you know, the army boot polish stuff out and then just dab a few bits here and there. Some people go out there with like these really intricate, like beautifully well-crafted designs. We need to up our tattoo game.
Need to again. Get up earlier. That's what we need to do. But it's difficult. Like that. How people find
especially
the
when
time.
It's cold. Like who wants to get up when it's cold early?
Well, I mean that was the other thing. The weather conditions leading into it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
again, really, really.
It
nice.
Had been really nice the week before, and then as is always the way.
As is the inevitability of E1, basically.
Yeah. Just, but I we'll get into the weather.
So you know what? It wasn't that bad. We'll get to that.
But, yeah, it wasn't that bad. I guess it was just because it.
Well, we didn't get the worst of it. Let me put it that way.
We did not get the worst of it.
Yeah, there were people that really suffered.
Dave Shield was a big one.
Oh, jealousy.
Yeah.
You green-eyed monster. Oh, how I know what you are now.
So our friend Robert, who did the crafting episode with me on, I think, episode 14. I think it's episode 14.
Wow, good knowledge.
Yeah, he's been a really good friend to us. And Dave, other Dave, good Dave.
Good Dave.
Got in touch with him and they basically worked on a design for a shield together. And Robert made him this really, really beautiful.
So it's on Navarre Brief, right?
Yeah, like really
in the story of how Navarre shields are meant to look.
Yeah.
That's how it looks. How would you describe it?
So it's like essentially a very accentuated kite shield with sort of cutouts.
It's got beautiful curves.
Yeah, essentially imagine a kite shield that has some sort of bits cut out of it, mm-hmm. but it maintains that shape and uses the curves of those cuts to
It's fantastic.
Make a nice
design. It's got the Aspawn logo, it's flapped straight
Lamb
the
on the
of
front,
it.
Yeah, it's great. And it's like, I think everyone was envious of that shield.
I mean, it's just gorgeous. After I went with my little crappy
little
shield this time
one,
around, I need to have a word with Robert, is all I'm saying. He did say, I think he said to Good Dave, he'll never make one like it.
No, yeah, I think that's really cool, actually.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Let me talk to Robert, okay?
Yeah.
Let's just have a conversation, see what we can work out, see what's going to happen. You know what I mean?
But I think that the cool thing Robert does is that, each one is individual and each one's unique. And
it's
he kind
gorgeous.
Of lets you explore your character within it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, like, going back to when I had my cloak made, it was the fact that when I was working with the person to make it, Kate, it was like she kind of let me express on my character into the design and then made something essentially custom for me. And I think that's a really cool thing that people who are in that hobby.
Custom gear.
It looks so good, dude.
When you talk about like being aspirational, I feel like we've got enough to walk on the field now, right?
Yeah.
We're having a good time. But there's always this like man, I wish I'd like to get this a bit better, or that could be a bit better. Like my legs, Ian. I need to get my legs sore.
Yeah, you kind of, yeah. It's weird how you think about kit after a while, say, because it sort of, it expresses you in the world, and you become attached to it, and also you become aware of, you know, the weaknesses in it and the things you'd like to improve, and, you know, my version of Talus would have this in my mind, mm-hmm. and, you know, real world Talus, or real world in Anvil Talus doesn't, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, yeah, it's weird the ways it'll take you, for sure, for mm-hmm. sure.
Yeah, I mean, I still need to work on a lot of my stuff and basically draw character from that. I'm just, well, no, do you know what? My character's starting to settle down.
I think Hitfan's a really interesting character, actually.
I think I'm working on it. Yeah. Right, and then, what, finally, we've got new people coming with us.
Yes, yeah, that was a really interesting thing to have.
So, last time we had, what was it, Good Dave came and joined us, yep. was the last new person we had. This time around, we had Good Dave's brother, Michael.
Yeah.
He came to join us.
Yeah.
Always a bit weird having someone come in to join you that you don't know come into LARP.
Yes.
Turned out he's a better looking, nicer version of Good Dave.
So good Dave almost.
Double good.
Or just like...
Dave's brother. Yeah.
Dave's brother. It's like awesome. No, yeah, he just fitted in so well. I think it's just like... I think LARP brings it out in people.
He loved it. I mean, it was a really good time. And then we had our friend Lloyd.
Yeah. Lloyd came, which it was great to have him along. Like, me and Lloyd have known each other for ages.
Yeah, we should talk about a little bit about Lloyd's journey in. He was like, I think he was a bit dubious at first, right?
Yeah, so, basically it starts with, you know, obviously he knows that I'm part of this hobby. I don't think he was probably that interested. But then on a card journey up to a gaming convention that we all went to, EGX, I just started, like, blasting. I literally sat next to him, we're driving, and it's like, you know, a 2.5-3 hour long journey. And I'm just constantly talking about LARP.
PD should just pay you to ride public transport and just talk to people about LARP.
And it's just...
you are a sick pusher, man.
I just whacked on about it without even realizing for pretty much the whole journey mm-hmm. and then the whole way back. And then, like, I think, like, the next day or something was like, yeah, all right, I'll do it. it was not even my intention, really, to convince him to do it.
Yeah, you do. You are quite the... I don't know, like the preacher when it comes to...
Yeah, it's just been really good. Like, really good for me. I've definitely benefited from doing it. And it's just so much fun.
Hey,
it's just crazy fun.
Lloyd was awesome fun to have along.
Having Lloyd along was amazing. Just, I think they both fitted in really well.
Yeah.
Right.
Growing a bit bigger and seeing what that's kind of like, especially with new people, like showing them what the ropes are like when we're actually at the event.
Well, importantly, and we'll repeat this when we get to the actual event, but we also, Lloyd got like a 5-meter bell tent.
Mm-hmm.
So now we've got...
a 5-meter bell tent.
Which was crazy. So we had like, we've got the four-meter bell tent that me and Dave had originally, which bungles in. And then Good Dave was out in his own little tent outside previously.
Yeah.
And now we've got a 5-meter bell tent. So it's like... it's and a 3-meter
the
awning
difference between a 4-meter and a 5-meter
it's crazy,
is ludicrous.
Yeah, I think if you can, I think
go big,
but bigger is better in this situation.
I mean,
it was great.
4 meters, I was quite happy with the space we had in a 4-meter bell tent, and now it's like shit.
Now I know
what 5 is like. It's going from standard definition to high definition.
I know it's crazy. But yeah, so having both the tents and having like the awning between, and just getting that as a setup in our minds before we even went, I think it was really cool having extra people come along, like mm-hmm. and fill those sort of that spot and pad it out in that way. Like the Ashbourne being bigger, I think, was a really cool
thing. It was so cool. Like, we started talking about at the start of this episode about how a year on, things are slightly different now, and having new people coming along and like experiencing LARP. And you trying to kind of like translate what you think of LARP or how to interact with the world?
Yeah, and the fact is that I'm coming from like a really weak area of knowledge, right? I'm just giving you the Ian version of what I think and feel about it.
I get the feeling it must be a little intimidating sometimes when, because we know people, like we don't know people, but we're on friendly terms with a bunch of people now, right?
Yeah.
Like I know who different people are and we can go.
It just gives you a massive advantage.
And so just I think confidence wise. It's quite daunting when you're around
that. Hugely daunting. Yeah.
But luckily, like ducks to water they were, weren't they?
We'll get into them more when we actually hit the proper LARP.
Yeah.
But yeah, like they just did fantastic all weekend, and I yeah, I think that they all loved it, and I think we're all making plans for E2 already. But we should save a lot of that.
Yeah, I think it's proper. Time. I think it's time.
Well, the other thing I wanted to go into was the flagpoles that I made.
Oh yeah, shit. Okay.
So, and that was the other, and the flags that go on them actually, and that that was the other big thing of what I did.
Yeah.
And
it was amazing, right? So you made flags for the different groups that
This came from nowhere. So it basically just started a long time ago. I'd done the flags for our striding, which is literally just like a burning tree in a black circle. Mm-hmm. And I printed off, got these two flags printed and made, and they hang up above our awning, and we've just had them kicking about. There was a push by I'm just gonna get his name right, Martin Thomas on the Navarre group to sort of try and get some more funding to do some more stuff with the Navarre camp in general. Originally just get some benches in and sort of put a bin down and stuff like that, and some other things, basically just to literally further improve the Navarre camp after the fireball we got that time, which again was a massive
it's awesome
thing. Like, the Navarre camp looks amazing now.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
But as part of that, there came like the idea of, you know, what else could we do? And a couple of people floated an idea about making some flags that represent the different groups, so and that so that people can use those flags as like staging points to have those various meetings.
Mm.
So randomly, I just sort of said, I could probably make those. And I, without really thinking, I thought, to be honest with you, when I put myself forward for it, I thought a bunch of other people would say, I'll do that. And then I would just immediately buckle before their superior.
Why would you ever think that?
Like,
you stepped up from an outsider's point of view, because I didn't talk to you while you were doing it. You just were like, I got this.
Well, that really wasn't like the end. But anyway, but it worked out just to be really good fun. Like, you know, another excuse to pour into the wiki and look at the different groups and things and talk to people and just work on various designs. And then I would post up a few designs on the Facebook group and people responded to them. It was just a really rewarding, like, crazy to me, being like, I mean, Talis is like a nobody at this point, especially in Navarre, right? You know, and I'm like not the most outgoing player or anything like that. So to suddenly, like, for me to be making the flags for the nation was like a real, like, just like crazy thing to be involved with. It filled me like a lot of pride in a sense, and to see them when we got to the event and they were flying and crazy wind.
You had a big weekend actually, thinking about it. You just saying that has made me realize you're a...
Yeah.
You're a
god. Talis is an interesting kind of character right now in a sense.
You are a hero, Ian.
We'll get to it. We'll get to it.
That was great fun. One more thing. I brewed vodka. I got some vodka and I infused it. What was it? Apple and ginger.
Yeah.
And no, it was apple and cinnamon.
Yes, that was it, yeah.
And pineapple and ginger,
yeah.
Right? But I got distracted while I was doing it. And bear in mind, I've gone through like a lot of stages for this. So I've like sanitized everything I'm using.
You did amazing.
I've got like, I really go to town. It is a sterile environment.
Yeah.
I do all of this effort for me to then switch the ingredients as I'm doing it. And I do both jars, like all four jars, without even batting an eyelid about it. I just did it. And I was like, I was lying in bed that night. And I was like, something wasn't sitting right with me. And I was like, what the fuck? And then it just, oh shit. You know?
Yeah.
So I jumped up and like went to have a look. And yeah, I've done it in the wrong way. I've done pineapple and cinnamon and apple and ginger.
But actually, ended up tasting pretty good, I thought. We'll get to that when you get to your selling.
Yeah, I've got a load of stuff to talk about with trading and generally trying to make money.
You definitely got a lot more stuck into that this time around, and that seemed like a lot of fun.
I like it because it gives you an opportunity to just go and randomly chat to different groups.
Yeah,
you know, it's good.
But beyond that, the only other thing I made was make the actual flagpoles themselves to put the flags on.
Mm-hmm. Which is pretty ridiculous.
It was just great. It was just really good fun leading into it. You
went so hard out this year. It's, I mean, the mind boggles, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, like, I feel like I just chucked a bunch of stuff in at the beginning of the event, and it was just like a relief to get there, and then I just enjoyed the weekend a hell of a lot.
I mean,
a hell of a lot.
Right, let's get on with it then. Join us next time, and we'll actually talk about the LARP proper.
Ah, here we are, us next. Let me do the talking. Invitations, please. Invitations. Ah, yes, of course. It's in my pocket right here, or this pouch. It was just here, I assure you. Please move to the back of the line. Wait, wait. Surely there's some sort of arrangement we can come to. Okay, okay. Let me go find my invitation. Blast! Time to get creative. Maybe there's an invitation just around this corner. Ah, here's one. To you, it may just look like a brick. But you'd be surprised at how many places you can get into with one. Quick, give me a bunk up!